The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
We're going to talk actually about sport right now, and not so much about the Olympics, but News Talk has carried out research with Amarok, and what it's found is that a majority of people in this country think sport is inaccessible and too expensive. That majority climbs to close to kind of 60% when it's parents of children under the age of 18 who are surveyed, which would suggest the pinch is most felt when sons and daughters want to enlist in sports. And listen, there's different kind of strands to the research when you pick it apart. The smaller the sport, the more individual the focus, the more equipment needed, the more expensive it is to get involved in. That maybe makes sense. The big team sports probably provide the best value. Then they've got, you know, economies of scale on their side. But they don't have everything on their side, because sometimes even with the team sports, it can be inaccessible, particularly if they don't even have the facilities. Tom McGee is with me from the Liberty Saints Rugby Club. He's the president there. Tom, you're welcome to the show. You've been kind of locked in battle with DCC for a long, long time over facilities. Is that right?
Yeah, going back now at this stage must be 12 years.
And what's the situation?
If you're living in Dublin 8, you have no access to sport at all. And if you're a child in one of the 17 schools that are in the area, you don't play PE. You don't have access to kick a ball, swing a hurl, spend a Saturday afternoon going out with your 20 or 25 pals to go and play a neighbouring community in GA or football or soccer or hurling or rugby or anything like that. And that's... You're talking about feeling the pinch. You can imagine the pinch how sore that pinch is. Now, you had Michael Caruth on earlier on, and you listened to him talking about packing his bag and how it was consuming his life, going back into the details of how, you know, the years matter to him and all the rest of it. You can imagine what it would mean to Michael Caruth or to any sporting athlete if they had no access to sport, how different his life would have been. And that's the real pinch, is the difference that having no sport in life is having on the community of the people in Dublin A, for example.
And why is that the situation then in Dublin A? I mean, I assume it's kind of partly historical, and maybe the way the area developed and housing schemes were completed. But why has nothing ever been done about it?
Because there's been a complete lack of investment in the community for the last 30 years. And there's... lots of land, but there is land available which is just lying derelict and has been lying derelict for 10, 15 years. There's about 10 acres of land up in Teresa's Gardens there, which a process has been going on for the last 15 years to try to get a redevelopment and a regeneration done in there and a pitch put in there. And that's been pushed out in the last week. That's been pushed out another 5 years. So there just doesn't seem to be a desire. They have Dublin traffic plans and they've got linear parks and they've got cycle lanes and all these other investments that go on, but actually investing in the people that live in the area just seems to be bottom of the list, no priority, not urgent.
I mean, I have kind of a view of this, and I don't know what you think, Tom. I think there's kind of a legacy of this in the country that kind of almost like the education system or the health system for a long time, it was kind of left up to kind of private institutions, as it were, to provide facilities for the country. You know, the state kind of said, that's not our job. Let the GAA or the IRFU or the FA or whatever it happens to be to kind of get on with it. And then you've got a situation like in Dublin 8 where that hasn't happened, or they're just not there, or the facilities aren't there. And maybe it's just a legacy of that local authorities and the state are slow to kind of get involved.
Well, the localities that you're talking about where people have invested in, where the FAI and the GAA and the IRFU get involved, they're all kind of, let's say, in private areas where residents' associations or communities come together and they identify a plot of land, they put a football pitch in there. The problem in Dublin 8 is that Dublin City Council are the landlord of the majority of the people that live there. There's more flats complexes in Dublin 8 than anywhere else in the country. They are the residents' association. They are the local authority, and they are responsible, but they're just not responding.
Gary Gannon is with me, Social Democrat TD Education spokesperson for the party as well. Gary, I was only actually talking about this with a colleague of yours, Jesselyn Henry, out in Clondalkin the other day. So we were talking about facilities. Now, in the context of everything that's happened, or in Coolock rather, you know, around Crown Paints, but we got on to kind of municipal sports facilities and municipal facilities full stop. It doesn't have to be sports, it could be playgrounds and everything up. But there's just a, I don't know, is it a kind of a cultural thing or a historical thing whereby the state hasn't actively been the ones providing this, and it continues to be the case.
The state don't see its role as providing municipal facilities or investing in sport as a way of investing in young people, people in general. Like Tom's talking about Dublin 8 there, but there's a dearth of sporting facilities across Dublin. And I know kind of the countryside, it might be a little bit different because you usually have the church lands and the GAA kind of build up around that. You do kind of have that infrastructure. But in the more urban environments where space is supposedly at a premium or more expensive, city council, the state hasn't taken an interest in it. So we have this situation now where, look, we know 1 in 6 people are experiencing at risk of poverty. Now, can you imagine getting your 2 sons, daughters onto a football pitch, and every week they go out, you have to pay a 10 or subs, you have to pay a 5 or subs, and the clubs have to cover their insurance, they have to pay for pitches. Look, where I see land where the state is invested in, say, colleges, for example, I pass by the most beautiful pitch in Trinity College every week on the way to work in Leinster House. I don't really see many kind of community groups using it. Grange Gorman facilities, for example, have incredible football sports pitches. They're about €170 to rent out. And look, the college has to wash its face, so I'm not blaming them. But where the state could actually come in and invest in those infrastructure as a way of investing in people, the state has absolved itself as that. Look, you have large scale sport and infrastructure grants and things like that. Now, you would need a master's to be able to fill out those forms.
Yeah.
And like most sports, I'm like, I'm very blessed to play with Sheriff from one of well into my adult years. The lads down there coaching those teams, like, they're just coaching the teams. Like, they're also putting their own family kind of on the back burner on the Tuesday and the Thursday and the Saturday morning. They're not going to be able to kind of invest the time into kind of put into those grants. We need to see the state taking the administrative burden away from the clubs, investing. Look, I'll give you, in terms of my own manifesto going into the general election, I'd like to see like a €200 grant for every young person under the age of 18 so they can go into sports, so they can go into the culture. Look, I think they're going to come to like a couple of, I think it's about 122 million if you go 150, a bit more if you go 200. But like the investment that brings back in terms of mental health, in terms of time allocation, investing in the development of a citizen, that will pay off to no end.
What about the suggestion I've heard made before that, you know, the capital grant system as we have it anyway, the premise is that the state transfers this wealth to private clubs effectively. Mm. Now, look, the citizens of this country benefit, you know, by expanded facilities, wherever it happens to be. But we don't have the kind of tradition of municipal sports facilities. Like you have, you go to kind of the continent. I know these sometimes are lazy comparisons, but it is a reality. You've got a running track. You've got clay tennis courts. You've got an outdoor velodrome. You've got everything that kids could kind of try their hand at before they have to join the club. Here, if your kid says, I want to play tennis, in most parts of the country, you've got to ring up the local tennis club and say, how much are membership fees?
And when I was on Dublin City Council, also I'm a politician now, there's always this hostility that like, oh no, that'll be a source of antisocial behaviour. So you have to take it away. So we can't have these great public facilities because there's an assumption of antisocial behaviour. Where I think most of us who benefit from sport in your life would say, well, actually, that's how you combat antisocial behaviour. So be that kind of the young people around, you know, you're talking to Jesselyn, who's an incredible person, like myself in the inner city, like investment in boxing, sports, these entities that give young people an outlet for their frustration, a source of discipline, the place where you have mentors, those one good adults and role models. That's how we combat antisocial behaviour. The state needs to stop looking at this as a transfer to private enterprise and just see it as an investment in going over young people. The payoff, you may not be able to see it on the balance sheet next year, but you'll see it in the number of young people who are no longer down in the courts, the young people who probably wouldn't need to access the level of mental health treatment that we desperately need in this country. It's like investing in young people without firstly seeing it as a risk in terms of the municipal facilities, without seeing it as kind of an immediate payback. But like just actually, and they do this well in other countries. I mean, Iceland, we have an Icelandic manager with the Irish football team now. They've done an incredible, gave every kind of young person a sport and cultural grant of, I think it was a couple of €100. And what they see in terms of now, the population's much less. But the benefit that they've seen in that in terms of reduction in drug use, reduction in antisocial behaviour, it was just an incredible. They do it in some Scandinavian countries also. Like the Croatia, population of about 5 million, incredible football team. They've got incredible basketball teams. Like you'll see that in terms of the Olympics now. Like Kelly, I wouldn't know my whole life, like she she got the benefit from local boxing teams, but then she had to move outside of the area because there wasn't enough kind of changing facilities for a young woman in boxing. It's the same in terms of you go to the Fairview Park. You'll see some pitches, but you don't see changing facilities. We need investment in municipal facilities, pitches, and all sorts of kind of the velodromes, all that kind of really interesting things that actually give people a place to find themselves. Like yeah. We talk about getting young people off the streets. Where are you going to go at the moment?
I'm interested as well in kind of talking more about this idea of sharing facilities or kind of getting the most out of it. You mentioned, say, pitches that you walk past that there's no one on. And again, I was in Drimnin, the boxing club, earlier, and it's kind of a version of it. Bulmers next door pay them, I don't know how much Michael told me, but they pay them a nice few quid every year to rent the car park because they need the car park during the day for people. Yeah. And there's no one really in the boxing club during the day, or very few people. And then at night they get it back. And it's just kind of a way that both kind of, they kind of scratch each other's back to a degree. And you think of all of the pitches around the country and all those GAA fields, and kind of a member of my own local GAA club, most of the time the pitches are empty.
The pitches are consistently empty. So church grounds, large spaces, regularly empty. The universities at the moment, there's nobody in their universities yet. The pitches are fairly empty. I go up to Phoenix Park, I'm randomly thinking the cricket. I don't know who plays cricket, but I'm sure lots of people do. But you know, unless you're part of the team up there, like, you don't get to be on that. It's like, I really am a big believer in that kind of acid space community development, where you look at the assets within your area. If that's a pitch in the church and you get to mix that in with the local, the schools are closed for the summer. There's lots of schools. Schools are underfunded and you have their own problems, but their buildings are closed now for the summer. At the same time, we need huge spaces for people to go play, enjoy, be part of the community, have that little kind of like contest between each other, and everybody goes home tired and happy. Like, that is a real investment.
It also allows communities to coalesce around something, a place, and like we're talking about sporting facilities, but it strikes me it's not just that, it's playgrounds again. And when I was with Jesslyn, your colleague up in Coolock, I mean, there was one bench we could find in the whole place to sit down. We actually did an interview in a church car park.
You know where the benches are gone, though.
You know what I mean?
Anywhere there's any risk of, you'll see on O'Connell Street, like, you'll see anywhere there's a risk of somebody assembling with the threat of antisocial behaviour, rather than dealing with that, we take away the acid. That is what the...
Well, there's lovely apartments there. They've been built on Oscar Traynor Road. Lovely kind of landscaping done in front of them and everything, which I was kind of eyeing up with my own gardening hat on. And I didn't see any playing pitches.
No, there was playing pitches on the Oscar Traynor. I think they still are there. There are small five-a-side pitches, though. They can be a little bit expensive, and it's more kind of lads getting together in the evening. I think that actually works quite well. But, like, I would love to see the state investing and taking the expense away from that. Because not everybody, like, we're living in a world at the moment where, like, some people have plenty and others don't have a lot. And those who don't have a lot being withdrawn from kind of sports and culture, I mean, that leaves us all in a bad place.
One listener says, I totally agree. Just look at the amount of apartments popping up in the inner city, civil unrest and everything. It's simple. Provide the population with good leisure facilities. It's not rocket science. Shame on the politicians. I emailed DCC, told them they were mad if they went ahead with that water park. And I suggested a proper swimming pool that everyone can benefit from. Time to stop talking. Action required. Two GAA pitches, soccer pitch, gym, handball court, playground, park, etc. at my local rural non-wealthy parish. A veil of grants to fill the paperwork. A fundraiser has bought the site. Don't cry complaining the applications were too hard, they say.
They somebody very else, hard.
You know, it's not the government or the council's responsibility to start the club. It's communities themselves. But, which I, like, look, I'm not having a go at texters, but to a degree, I wonder, is there a kind of a rural bias in that? Dublin 8, where we started this conversation, focused on, I mean, if you say, right, community, up you go, start a club, where are they going to start it?
Where do you
the place
go
is kind
start?
Of full. Like, you need the city council to
The city
intervene.
Councils do need to take an interest. And, like, to a degree they have. But, like, say your listeners might drive along Clontarf at the minute. There's a big space pitch down there, the Alfie Bourne Road. Two big pitches. That would be an incredible municipal facility for a multitude of different teams that are in the north inner city, for example. You could have, a little Mestalla down there. Like, that could be the standard of kind of a municipal facility. There are plans and work for that. It's just going very slow.
I don't think there's a public swimming pool in all of Fingal, enough said. Well, is Finglas in Fingal or North?
No, Finglas is Dublin City Council. So
all right, okay. And Ballymun?
Ballymun is Dublin City Council.
All right, okay. Yeah, there are the two swimming pools I used to swim in.
Sean McDermott Street just opened up again, my old swimming pool. But again, the community has benefited massively from it. These are the type of things that, like, you just wear you out in a very positive way.
087-1400-106. If you've got examples, maybe, in your own particular part of the country where municipal sport facilities have been provided, I don't think there's a huge amount of examples, and certainly nowhere near the level you have in other parts of Europe. Gary Gannon, Social Democrat TD. Tom McGee, Liberty Saints Rugby Club President. Tom and Gary, thanks a million for joining me.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.